Amen. Amen. Well, I want to start this whole series of First Things First. First Things First. And today, if you will, is one long introduction to the whole series. And we'll be talking about this over the next this next month. And really, it's an invitation for everyone and anyone to join us, if you will. But I wonder if you've ever sat at a restaurant and then, you know, at the end of the restaurant, you get to that point where you get the bill and then you have to decide, okay, how much should we pay them in tips, in drikkepenge? And I know, I've heard it before, that in Denmark, we don't do that. That's not custom, which I think is rubbish. Sorry if you normally say that. Because I think generosity is not limited to certain countries or culture. Generosity is just something that should follow us as people. We should be generous people. And I just think we have an opportunity when it comes to that moment to use something as simple and materialistic as finances to actually put a smile on someone else's face, just to show gratitude and show honor and just say, hey, thank you for this moment. But you know what doesn't happen? You don't start the dinner off by starting tipping someone. It's always at the end of the dinner because the main event is really the food. The main event is the experience and the moment that we have together. The challenge in life, though, is that often we give too much attention to a few areas of life at the expense of the areas that truly matter. That is the challenge in life. Like, we can all agree that if we have a family, whether you have your own family or you're from a family, you know, that's those people should rank really high in terms of your priorities. That, you know, if you have friends, significant friends, relationships, those friends should be a top priority in our lives. But how often do we think last about the areas that matter the most? I mean, we get home from work, we're tired, we're exhausted, and our kids kind of become an afterthought. I mean, if we have to be honest, often we find ourselves giving the leftovers of energy, the leftover of time, maybe even to our spouse. I'm too tired, I'm too exhausted, and you kind of just, I'm tired from a full day of work. Now, let me just make a few statements at the start of this series, if that's okay, the start of this message, because I want us all to be on the same page and all have the same heart and understand the spirit of this series. Is that okay? First of all, I'm guilty. I am guilty as charged. I think whenever we talk about areas in our lives that can be better, can be stronger, it is so easy to sit somewhere and think, I'm the only one. Everyone else live perfect lives. Everyone else are great at this. But I just want to say that is not true. Every single one of us can be better. Every single one of us have areas or seasons where, you know, we don't give the people that matter the most our very best. And so I just want everyone to understand, not to feel that, you know, I'm the only one and everyone else has got everything together. It's not true. We all can be better in certain areas of our lives. The second thing I want everyone to understand is that this series is not about hating on work. Okay, this is not about work is bad and we got to focus on everything else. No, I don't believe that's even biblical, because God has called you to whatever sphere that you are in right now. You're called to do that. You know, it might be just your season or whatever, but you're called to do that. But so it's not a matter of let's hate on work and let's find our dream job that doesn't feel like work. No, it's just a matter of in all areas of our lives, let's get the right focus, priorities, and health. Is that okay? And then the third thing I want to say, and this is the most important thing, there is a big difference between condemnation and conviction. There is a big difference between condemnation and conviction. Condemnation, the Danish word is for dømmelse. Condemnation is actually a legal term that means that you are guilty. And the message of this series is not, the aim of this series is not for everyone to walk out of church going, oh great, I'm a lousy human, I'm a lousy Christian. You know, everything is wrong in my life. That's not the aim. This is, you know, like in January when people, they post like, new year, new me. And they like do a little speech on all their health priorities. And you're just looking at yourself as you're finishing another tub of ice cream, you know. And you're like, I hate myself. You know, that is not the aim, okay. The aim is not, and that's not the spirit of any of these messages, okay. There is a big difference between condemnation and conviction. The Bible says in Romans 8:1, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Now, this starts with therefore. That means it connects, this thought connects with the previous thought. And the previous thought in Romans 7, verse 21 to 25, is the Apostle Paul, who is talking about the struggle he's having with this sinful life in his body. And he's saying, the things I want to do, I'm not doing. The things I shouldn't do, I'm doing. Man, who's going to help me? And then the next line is, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. See, Paul, he's trying to take us on this journey of showing us how to live a life of victory, that we don't have to be slaves to our sin and our addiction and our weaknesses. We don't have to be bound by bad decisions, that we can be better, we can change in the process. You see, the grace of God doesn't say you're not allowed to do certain things. The grace of God says we don't have to. And that's what Paul was trying to say, is that we are no longer slaves to sin. No, we are now children of God. We are not bound. We don't have to be bound to those things anymore. But listen, while there is no condemnation, doesn't mean there is no conviction. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit, one of his jobs in John 15 or 16, verse 8, he says, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to convict us of sin, is to point things out that are bad, point things out that are going to hurt us. You know, if my children were walking onto a road full of traffic and cars, I would yell out, I'd be like, hey, stop! I would try and grab them. I would get their attention. I would, get in their way. Why? Because I understand if they continue this path, it's not going to be good for them. It could potentially be devastating for them. In that moment, are they going to feel shocked? Yes. Are they going to feel scared? Yes. Are they going to maybe be sad? Yes. But the motivation is love. It's to protect them. So the Holy Spirit in our lives, he's there to point things out. So now and then the Holy Spirit will go, stop, warning, you're about to go down a path that's going to be hurtful. You're going to go down. If you continue making these decisions, it's going to hurt your marriage. It's going to hurt your finances. It's going to hurt your health. So he steps in and he tries to help us and he tries to convict us of the things in our lives. And that is the big difference between conviction and condemnation. You see, condemnation, it highlights problems, but hides solutions. Condemnation, you always feel trapped. You've done the wrong thing, and then silence. You've made a bad decision. You see, condemnation makes you feel bad, because condemnation makes you feel like the problem. You're the problem. You're bad. You're broken. Now, condemnation, the main thing condemnation does is it leaves out the forgiveness and grace of Jesus. Condemnation, it leaves out the forgiveness, that's past tense, and the grace of Jesus. Grace is future tense, empowerment to be better. Condemnation will leave out Jesus. See, condemnation exposes in order to shame, where conviction, it seeks to reveal in order to heal. Conviction will say, you're better than this. You're stronger than this. There is more in you than this. You can do better. You can choose better. You can run faster. You're stronger than what you're doing right now. So when we are talking about these different areas this month, I want to encourage you. There might be times when you're feeling a little bad. I know that, because just writing the sermons, I'm feeling bad. And you might feel a little like, oh man, you're cutting close now. But please don't write that every one of those feelings off as condemnation. It might be that it hurts a little bit in your soul. Might hurt a little bit in your heart. I used to have a class teacher when I was in like year 5 or 4 or something. And his role model as a teacher was the teacher from the Fasemte Fall, if you've seen that movie. And he'd be like, "Gør det ondt I hjertemusklen, Thomas?" And then he would dig his bony pinky finger in my chest. Yeah, it's abuse. But I want to say some pain is good. Some pain is good. The scalpel, the pain of the surgeon's scalpel is necessary for you to feel better. It's necessary. And parents, you understand this. You understand sometimes your kids get hurt and then you have to clean the wound, or you have to, you know, put a Band-Aid on or something, and they're like, is it going to hurt? And you're like, yeah, it's going to hurt. But you're only going to get better if we go through this temporary pain. And so there might be Sundays, there might be sermons, there might be moments over the next 21 days where you're like, oh, that hurt. Oh, that cut close. It's okay. It's okay. It might be the Holy Spirit is pointing some things out. So the questions that we are asking over the next 21 days, if you want to join us, is who gets your first and who gets your best? Who gets your first and who gets your best? Have you ever told yourself, well, it's the thought that counts? Sure, every husband has said that Christmas Eve. It's the thought that counts. I had the receipt. No, but the challenge with that whole idea is we judge others based on their actions, but we judge ourselves based on our intentions. And so we say things like, oh, but I meant to do that. You know, we say, okay, I'm going to read a bedtime story when I get home from work. And then we get home, we're tired, and we're like, well, you know, the thought counted because I was meant to do it. Or then we go one step further and say, well, it's not my fault. It's my boss's fault. It's my work's fault. That's why I'm tired. Or we take it one step further and say, well, I'm just a horrible parent. None of those thoughts are going to help you. None of those feelings are going to help you take some health and make some healthy decisions from here. We've often said your position in life is not as important as your direction. So the question is not where you at. The question today is where you're going. And that is what we're trying to do the next 21 days, is that we're trying to set a direction, a trajectory the next 21 days. And hopefully we can pray that this direction is going to continue throughout the year, and who knows, maybe throughout the years. So we're going to highlight four areas that we believe are very important in our lives. And the four areas are faith, family, finances, and health. And for those of you with OCD, I understand the feelings you're having right now. I noticed three F's and one H, and we worked very hard. ML and I, we sat around for a long time going, what can we call health that starts with an F? We even got to the point where we said, maybe we could spell it phonetically, physical phonetically. But even that didn't seem and feel right. So take it as it is. Faith, family, finances, and felt. Faith, that's our relationship with God. Nothing great is built by accident. Anything great is built by design, on purpose. And in our relationship with God, that's why we make space for God's grace. God's grace is His help. And I'm not going to have a strong year, a healthy year in these four areas unless my relationship with God is strong. And so we're going to put that at the forefront of everything we do. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these other things will be added to you as well. But that has to be the first thing we focus on, our faith, our walk with Jesus. Then we're going to focus on family. That's your family, it's friends, it's significant relationships. God wants your family to flourish. He wants your relationships to flourish. But unless you have a plan, we're kind of just hoping. We're just hoping for a good year. We're just hoping. Truth is, life can be challenging, hey? You can say amen. Life can be tough. You know, I was talking to some people after the first service and said, hey, excited about the year? And they were like, umming and ahhing. And I'm like, it's okay not to be excited. Like, it's okay to have those feelings. I understand. I get it. It's taken me a few days over the last few days to get excited about this year because it's been a big few years. Life can be challenging. So we've got to ask ourselves, how will I flourish in the significant relationships that I have? Thirdly, we're going to talk about finances. You see, a big portion of our life, our time, our energy goes into work. And one of the results of work is finances. So, of course, we should talk about it. You know, one of the top two reasons that married couples get divorced is financial stress. And so it deserves to be talked about. It deserves to be mentioned and figure out how can we be good stewards in the area of finances. Also in the area of generosity. Yeah, we're going to go there. We're going to talk about it. Because, again, often we spend our finances on what we want. And then at some point we get around to what we need. And then it's like everything else becomes an afterthought. Okay, if there is enough, then I will, you know, be generous or help others or whatever. And it's like we're tipping God or we're tipping people around us rather than how can I give it my first? So we call it a 21-day journey of finding your focus. And we're calling it focus because life has distractions, many distractions. And so what we're doing is that on the way out today, you're going to receive this booklet, folded piece of paper. You're going to receive this brochure, this flyer, if you will. And inside is this bookmark as well. And it just says first things first. And then it has four areas where you can fill in the blanks. To give my family the best, I choose to. To give my faith the best, I choose to. To give my finances the best, I choose to. To give my health the best, I choose to. And then making some decisions of saying, how will I put these areas first in my life? And really what we're saying is, first things first, what it really is about is choosing when you're strong, who you're going to be when you're weak. Choose today, January 2nd, 2022. Who are you going to be February 2nd, March 2nd, April 2nd, December 2nd? Who are you going to be when the going gets tough? What are you going to do in those areas, in the family, finances, faith, health? Because those are the pressure points. Those are the areas that will be under most pressure. So let's choose now. Let's choose now where everyone's feeling good and happy and excited and optimistic about the year. Before we looked at today's corona numbers, before we've read the latest horrible news headline, let's choose now what those four areas are going to look like in 2022. On the back page is a verse that you'll see again and again referenced this month. Proverbs 3:5-10. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, shun evil, because this is going to bring health to your body, nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruit of all your crops, and then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. You see these four areas: finances, family, faith, and then health, your body. You're created as a body, soul, and spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. And so we have a responsibility to consider, how will I be healthy in my soul, my feelings, my emotions? How will I be healthy in my spirit? But how will I be healthy in my body as well? We're not just talking like new year, new me, get my summer body ready. That's not what we're talking about. But what you do physically has an effect on how you feel emotionally. It's all interconnected. And so we're gonna have a conversation about that. Who gets your first and who gets your best? And listen, church, you give your best by thinking about it first. You give your best by thinking of it first. I mean, think about when your kids, they leave to go to school, you drop them off at school. As they're leaving, you say to them, hey, have a great day at school. When you get home, we're going to do this. You've already given them your best because you've made them the first priority. You can have a busy week ahead of you at work, and you can say to your spouse, hey, it's a busy week, but on Friday, let's go on a date. On Saturday, let's just do nothing. You've already put someone first by giving your best. Is by thinking of it first. So let's at the start of this year consider these areas of our lives. And I wanna just ask you three questions, and I wanna encourage you to write them down or take a picture of the screen. But what are some things you will start doing in 2022? What are some things you will stop doing in 2022? And what kind of person do you want to be in 2022? Three simple questions. Often we talk about fasting and it's all about stopping things. And I understand that. But stopping things without starting something else sometimes is a miss. So what are some things that you, and not just you as a person, maybe as a business, as a ministry, in your life, what are some things you want to start doing in 2022? What are some things you want to stop doing? And what kind of person do you want to be throughout it? Because you can tick the box and do the right thing, but just still be rude to people. So what kind of person do you want to be? The next 21 days, what could they be? I mean, just a few examples. It could be as practical as no social media before the kids have left for school. Get 8 hours sleep. Go for a walk or run 2 times a week. A date night. Read my Bible every day. Start being generous. I know Lasse right here, I'm calling you out because Lasse and Alex, they just shook hands between services that in 2022, they are running the Copenhagen Marathon. Come on now. It's on video. That's exciting. Well done. You got 19 weeks. I know it because I'm doing it too. Maybe start being generous. Start tithing 2022. A day of Sabbath. Plan and pay for a holiday already now. Say to your family, this is what we're doing. Put them first. Join a connect group. Serve others. No sugar, no alcohol. Ride and stick to a budget. Etc., etc. But I want to encourage you. Write it down. Put it somewhere where you're going to see it. I don't know if it's real personal. You might just want to put it in your Bible or on your fridge. And then talk to someone about it. Do it together, like these two who are doing a marathon together. That's exciting. Because then you're keeping each other accountable for the training. You're keeping each other accountable for the vision. But see, the truth is, church, that in all of this, without Jesus, all of this is just self-help. And anything with self in front of it is limited. We don't need self-help. We need God's help. You see, Paul, he said it like this in 1 Corinthians 15:10. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. I love that because sometimes people, oh, you know, it's all grace. Yeah, yeah, but grace doesn't disregard work. Paul says, no, I worked harder than everyone, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Try and just replace grace with help, because that is what grace is. Grace is God's help. But by the help of God, I am what I am. And his help to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the help of God that was with me. I don't need self-help. I need God's help. And that is what we are doing from the start of this year, is saying, you know what? I can't do this in my own strength. Some of you are sitting there saying, well, I can't. I've tried to change. Yeah, it's impossible to change without the grace of God, without the help of God. I've tried to change this area. I've tried to change this addiction. I've tried to change these bad habits. It's impossible. I know. That is why we need the grace of God. It's why we need the help of God.